I want to start with this question, because we came home with this question. Are we on or off mission? What is your mission? I'm going to share part of what I did as a 4-week series in the youth about the body of Christ, which is neat because Todd earlier referenced that in 1 Corinthians 12. You are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. So what do we do with that? In the youth, we went through this form-filled function of our body. For the form, I wanted to use something that's close to me, something I'm familiar with, which is vehicles. 1863, a young man was born named Henry Ford. Many of you guys have heard of him before. I see some hands going up back there. I love Henry Ford, too. He kept me in business for 20 years. It was great. He was a farmer, grew up on a farm, hated farming, eventually got away from farming into engineering. Went to work, actually, at one point for Thomas Edison. In 1896, he invented his first vehicle. He had worked hard. He had engineered this. He'd put all these parts together to make something for a purpose. He designed it for a purpose. He rolled it out. He was going to show it off to his friends, went to crank it up. One problem, it wouldn't start, like many Fords. Right, Ed? And he had a good buddy there named Carl that helped him figure out what was wrong with it. And I'm not even going to try to do the voice, but vehicles are made up and designed uniquely to serve a purpose. They are formed. They're all put together for a purpose. And that purpose can be null and voided if there's not filled, if it doesn't have fuel in it. How many of you guys came to church today in a Ford? This is a Baptist church. This is going to be tough to get hands up, isn't it? How many of you guys came to church in a vehicle today? All right, that narrows it down. How many of you guys came to church with one of these on? Yeah, a few of you? So some people, I have a story where before this was even invented, as a young boy, I was probably 10 years old, my parents took me to Six Flags. And before the light was invented, it was really cool. There's always usually somebody sitting in the passenger seat. That was my mom in this trip. We're driving back from Atlanta late night, and she's like, Lloyd, that's my dad's name, Lloyd, you need to stop and get gas. And for some reason, my dad just really enjoyed seeing how far he could go on empty, right? You guys know some people like that? Like, oh, the light's on, and we've still got like 40 miles. And I just heard, Lloyd, you need to stop and get gas. Lloyd. And eventually, we ran out of gas. So we're sitting on the side of the road. We see Dad like walking up over the hill, disappearing in the dark, and I was like scared to death. But that was a long, long memory that I'll have of remembering why we need to be filled. It is important to be filled. It's also important what we're filled with. I know there's a few in here, and I'm not going to call any names, but I also remember a story working at Maxi. I was an auto technician for 20 years, in case you didn't pick up on that. One lady came in, and we'll call her Marilyn because that was her name. not the Marilyn from here. She came in, and her car was just running terrible and boiling white smoke out from it. And I'm like, what in the world is going on here? And when you're in the business for a while, you get this idea, you get this understanding, like, this does not smell right. Something's wrong here. So we start doing a little research like we have to do because we're mechanics. We love doing this. Like they come in saying it's making a noise. We say, what's that noise sound like? And usually most customers oblige. They're like, it's like, let me get somebody real quick. We bring them in to hear the noise. So we start doing a little research. It turns out she was waiting in line to get gas and all the pumps were full and she was tired of waiting. So she saw this pump sitting over by itself that she pulls over to and starts filling up her car. The problem was, it was kerosene, which was an expensive mistake. What I want to get to here is we are designed to be filled. As believers, we are designed to be filled by God. That's the way it started. That's the way it was created with Adam in the Garden of Eden. He is like this water bottle. He was created. He was formed. What did I do? I step on something? Sorry. He was created out of the dust, it says. In Genesis 2:7, it says, "Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being." God himself breathed his life into Adam. He breathed his spirit, which is going to be represented by the water you see we have down here today. This is the way we were designed to be filled. And this has a purpose, right? We realize that purpose very often this week on the trip, on the roof or down on the ground. It was hot, and we had to stay hydrated. So this served a great purpose for us, and it served a purpose for an illustration of empty water bottles around the building as well. The problem is, when we fell, we decided to separate ourselves from God, which is going to be represented by this Coke bottle, which up here says you on it. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." I think Bill did a wonderful job setting up in the Beatitudes this idea of what it takes to get from here back to what God has for us, what God created us for, what God designed us for. So what would be the first step from getting from this point back to the point we were designed and created to be? What would that be? Empty it out. Do I have any takers? Somebody want to drink this? No. Yeah, I bet you do. To empty it out. Why is that? Why is that the first step? From the Beatitudes, we learn that blessed are those who mourn, who see where they're at, who see their separation from God, who see their need from what God has intended for them. This tub of water we have here, I want to represent the Spirit of God. And in particular, and for this illustration, I want it to represent our church, the Spirit of God filling our church. So for something like this, to see that we want to be like that, the first step we have to do, shake it up real good and empty ourselves out. This life of sin, we confess it. In John, what is it, 1 John 1:8, it says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to purify us and cleanse us from our sins." So this idea that we empty that life of sin out and we're filled with the Spirit of God, which takes a while. So what is this now? What is this? You can talk. We're in church. What is this? Is this still Coke? What do you guys see when you see this? Does anybody want a Coke now? You still want a Coke? You good? Put to death, therefore, this goes with the pouring out. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, and the new is here. You no longer see Coke when you see this, do you? What do you see? You see Christ. In this life that was filled with sin, that was now poured out and confessed and filled with the Spirit of God, you don't see I could take this Coke label off. You can still see the label, but you see God. That's how it's intended to be. It also says in Galatians 2:20, "I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body," because I still have this plastic shell, I still have this form that God created in me, "the life that I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." That's kind of the purpose and design there. Some problems we have with people that want to come and be filled is this idea of, man, I see that. I need that. I've poured myself out. I've confessed that sin. I've recognized my separation from God. And I see benefit here. But you know what? I go and I experience that week after week. And I feel unsatisfied. I feel unfilled. What's the problem here? I'm not open. I'm closed off. I'm going through the motions of being filled. Can we relate to that? Have we been there before? Where, man, I see that. Those people have life and they have spirit and they have something I want and I desire, I'm hungry for. Blessed are those that hunger for righteousness. But I'm just not really open to doing it the right way, of being involved. That sounds like that's going to cost something, and it does. It really costs something. Or we have those that come that are open and they see it and they're here by it and they're like, okay, God, fill me. I'm ready. Do we have any volunteers that want to come up and try to fill this bottle with the Spirit of God? How would that go? It might be a little messy, right? And it's not really designed that way. Can God pour a spirit into you? Yes, he can. But he wants to do that through us, through the church, individually. As we go, and I got away from my notes, so I'm going to get back up here. As we go and seek to serve, as we're open to being filled by God, he's going to send us out. He's going to call us to go. That's the Great Commission, isn't it? Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. I thought it was pretty neat with the root word mission being, or not the root word, but the word mission being in the Great Commission. So I started researching that and trying to figure out, what does commission mean? Does anyone in here have a clue? It's basically a charge to a group of people. It's instructions. It's purpose given to a group of people. So when Jesus was giving the Great Commission to the disciples, he was saying, this I'm giving you. I want you to go and do this. This right here. So who's this for? Is this for just the disciples? This is for us. As the body of Christ, as those who carry on what Christ set out to do, this is for us. Go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. And I love that. Baptizing them, submersing them in this illustration. Bring them, fill them with the Spirit of God. For what purpose? So they can go do the same thing. Also says in Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's workmanship. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That's for all of us. You, every single one of you is uniquely designed, created by God for a purpose, to serve, to go out and fill, to represent God, Christ, to a fallen world, to a world full of Coke bottles. How effective can we be in that? Another point here. Some of us have this idea that the work of God is like this kind of thing, right? I see an open water bottle over here, right? Oh, got it. Not real effective, is it? Or we think, you know what? The problem might be that this is our pastor, right? And he's just not a great speaker. So you know what we need to do? We need to go find another church that has a really good speaker, that's gifted that, because I want to be filled. I want to be gifted by God. So we go find this church that has this really cool worship band that can see these needs. Oh, that didn't work either. Like, how effective is this? Like, do we see that? Do we see people go out and think, you know, the problem is I'm standing here. I'm open to being filled, but I'm just not filling it here. I'm not getting that here. Well, the problem is you're not participating in it. You're not open to submersing yourself into God's idea, to his plan, and to his purpose for your life. You have to be open. The role of our church is to make disciples. I love the way we have it listed back there, to gather, grow, and go. And even the way we have it up here, you belong in God's family. You as a Coke bottle belong and God's family, that coke that's in you is serious. It separates you from God. You can't be in the presence of a holy God with that in you. You have to get rid of that. And you don't do that until you give your heart and life to Jesus Christ. Until you open that bottle, you pour yourself out, you pour that sin out, you pour that heart out, that nature out, that wants to have nothing to do with God. As Romans 1 says it, that suppresses the truth. You stay away from that. You don't even want to hear about it. You pour that out and you fill yourself with the Spirit of God, and then He has a purpose for your life. You're not designed to sit around and think on you. What's it good for me? What's it bring me? You're part of the body of Christ. You're designated. You're filled for a function, for a purpose. We played a game up in the youth when we were doing this illustration, and I asked for two volunteers to come up, and I handed them an empty water bottle each, and I said, I want you guys to see how many water bottles you can go out and fill in a minute. And I often do this because I don't think through things very much, but I was surprised to see how perfect this worked out. The first person, I said, go. And they both filled their bottles. The first person filled their bottle real quick. And then they took off looking for open bottles to pour into, right? So they took off this direction. And they're over here trying to fill these bottles up, which, you know, wasn't real effective for speed. But then they look over at the other person. And the other person had their bottle, and they ran out and started collecting bottles. They gathered them up, and they brought them back to the source, realizing this is going to be so much more effective. Why is that? Do you guys see that here? We have some that do, that come up, and they fill out, and they go out, and these are our missionaries. These are the people that see these lost people, and they pour out, and that's great. That's wonderful. That's exactly what needs to be done. It's very beneficial. But we all have that power. We all have that capability to go out and see those same people and live a life in such a way that encourages them to ask for the reason for the hope that is in us. That we could bring them back realizing this is what they need. They don't need me coming out and feeding them. Again and again and again. I mean, we do that. We do that with the intention of winning them over. And hopefully that person that's going out and filling those bottles up is realizing, man, one day you're going to need to come and drink from the well where you'll never thirst again. As Jesus said to the woman waiting at the well, this is our mission. Some of us think, you know, I'm good. I just want to... You know, I was hurt by a church like this one, and I came and I bought into it, and I'm open to it, and I'm filled up, and I'm loving this, and I'm experiencing the presence of God and the glory of God, and I'm good there. That's where I want to be. That's where I want to stay, because I'm safe there. I'm not going to get tired. I'm not going to go pour myself out and the need to come back. But that's not the intent. God's purpose for us was to go and serve and go out and find these. And somebody's about to get mad at me. But what happens to us as believers when we go through life? Life isn't perfect. Trials still come. As we read here in 2 Corinthians, the verse right before this, 2 Corinthians 4:7, says, for we have this treasure in jars of clay. We have this treasure, this gift of the Spirit of God that we carry around in our bodies for a purpose. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our bodies the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake so that His life may be revealed in our mortal body. This idea that we're still going to have trials, we're still going to have troubles, just like anything, anyone else, any other of these bottles are going to have. But the difference is when we pressed, when we're crushed, when we're squeezed, what comes out is the Spirit of God. What these people experience that we're living our lives around is God's presence. It's no longer sin. It's no longer pain. It's no longer sorrow. It's not a sticky mess. It's life-giving. It's encouraging. For bottles that would have been open right here, they would experience that. And you know what we can do? We can go back to the Creator, and He can breathe new life into us, and He can fill us again, and we can go out and do it again. Serving God is a joy. It was a joy to go this week and be poured out. It was amazing to see through heat, through lack of sleep, what these leaders, what these kids could do, because each night we came back to the Word, we came back to the fellowship, and we were refilled, we were encouraged. Some of these stories that were even shared today, I didn't even hear about. But hearing about them is encouraging, isn't it? It brings life. It gives life. Sean gave me this verse right before I left, and I love this. I'm going to close with this. I'm going to go ahead and ask the band to start working their way back up. But Romans 10, 13 through 15. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Do you guys have good news? Is there good news in you? Is there hope in you? We read this week while we were on a trip, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. What is the gospel? It's the good news. It's the story of Jesus. It's the story of redemption. It's the story of belonging for those who are lost. It's the story of hope for those that are broken. And if we're ashamed of that, how can we be ashamed of that? I understand we get caught up on, we're ashamed of us, we're ashamed of our brokenness, we're ashamed of the faults that we have. That's not what God's, that's not the appeal God is making to the lost. It's the hope that He gives us. It's the hope that He fills us with. It's the joy we have in fellowship with each other and with Him. That's what we need to take out and give to the broken, lost world. We're going to sing this, so if you guys would stand up, let me pray for us. Father God, I thank You. I thank You that You use us. God, that You create us, You designed us with a purpose in mind. Intentionally, God, You know our weakness, You know our brokenness, You know our hurts. God, I pray that we understand, we come to a fuller understanding of You, that we learn to trust You in such a way that we can lay those down at Your feet, God, realizing that You can use those, that You can work in spite of those, God, that when we pour us that brokenness out, God, You fill us back up with Your Spirit. You equip us to go out, that we can proclaim You and Your glory. God, that the world would see You in me. God, I love You and I thank You for giving us that mission. God, I pray that we do it well. Amen.